We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support. It's lasted for so many.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn. We've got a great show for you today. It is the last day of Hanukkah is on Monday. So if you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday, we're still going to wish you a happy Hanukkah. But as the song indicates, you don't let it go out because after day 8, even though you're not lighting it, there's 9 and 10, 11. The light of Hanukkah just keeps going. In this half hour of the show, we will be interviewing Ari Mandelbaum, who is a Southfield City Councilman. You're not going to be talking about politics of Southfield, per se, but this upcoming week is the Siyum, the completion of those who are learning a page of Talmud a day. It's taken 7-something years to complete the entire Talmud, and there's worldwide festivities. It's a really amazing thing that people are doing this. We've got a wonderful assortment of music sprinkled throughout the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Vayigash, can be found in Genesis 44 and following. We've got a very interesting story at the end. You want to stay for that. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. One rocket was fired from Gaza this week towards Ashkelon. The Iron Dome shot down the missile. Prime Minister Netanyahu was in Ashkelon at the time giving a speech. No one was hurt. This is interesting. Israeli border police developed a laser gun, which they now use for shooting down fire balloons and drones coming from Gaza. I wonder if it makes that noise. Anyway. I think we can't see that. Israel will now be confiscating payments made to Israeli Arabs in prison who participated in terrorist attacks against Israel. The Palestinian Authority pays terrorists a monthly salary, and these would be Israeli citizens who had participated in receiving that funds. Flooding in Beirut destroyed a retaining wall in the city's only Jewish cemetery. Graves there date back to the 1820s. In anti-Semitic incidents this week, a 65-year-old man wearing a yarmulke was punched and kicked near Grand Central Station in Manhattan. The perp was arrested and charged with a hate crime. A group of teens knocked down a Hasidic man in Crown Heights. Three fires were set in the Yeshiva University dormitory. The arsonist was caught. No one was hurt. More than 20 headstones were vandalized at a Jewish cemetery in northern Slovakia in the second such incident in the country in a week. A 14-year-old German boy was tied up and strangled at a Berlin high school by three classmates who hurled anti-Semitic insults at him. He wasn't killed, he was just strangled. The attack stopped when a teacher walked into the bathroom. Four students were arrested. The head of the London Burial Society was hit in the head with a brick and kicked by a London East Ender. The perp was arrested and charged with aggravated assault and hate crimes. In other news, the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, Israel's largest reservoir, rose 3 inches this week as heavy rains and snow fell throughout northern Israel. And now we will hear Hanukkah greetings from newly elected British Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
To all our Jewish friends, neighbors, and relatives, wherever you are in the world, let me wish you a very happy Hanukkah. And there's every reason to be happy at this time of year. After all, quite aside from the joys of latkes and donuts, and I had the pleasure of baking a few myself when I visited Golders Green during the election campaign, who can argue with a festival where the kids get presents every day for more than a week? And it's time to celebrate not just the miracle of the oil, but also your unique identity. To pop the Hanukkah menorah in the window and say to the world, just as Judah and his small band of poorly equipped Maccabees said to Antiochus III and his mighty Greek army all those years ago, I am Jewish and I'm proud of it. And that's really important right now. Because I know that recent years have not been easy ones for British Jews. In the media, on the streets, and particularly online, anti-Semites have in alarming numbers been emboldened to crawl out from under their rocks and begin once again to spread their brand of noxious hatred far and wide. But as you kindle the Hanukkah light tonight, and in the nights to come, I want you to remember this. When the Maccabees drove the forces of darkness out of Jerusalem, they had to do so on their own. Today, as Britain's Jews seek to drive back the darkness of resurgent anti-Semitism, you have every decent person in this country fighting by your side. Because Britain would not be Britain without its Jewish community. And we will stand with you and celebrate with you at Hanukkah and all year round. Hag Hanukkah Sameach.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Southfield City Councilman Ari Mandelbaum. We're going to be talking about the Siyum HaShas Daf Yomi, which is coming up this week. How are you today, Ari?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Taking some of your busy day. How are things in Southfield generally? Just generally.
Generally, things are great. Home values are up. More and more residents are moving in, and things are going well.
Okay, good to hear. Okay, we have something called Daf Yomi. So many of our listeners might not be familiar with that, and I have to introduce it as the completion of the finishing of the Talmud for those who learn one page a day is coming up this year, this week. Okay, but normally just people just call it the Daf Yomi, to those familiar with the jargon. So tell us about Daf Yomi, please, Ari.
Sure. So Daf Yomi was started back in 1923 by a rabbi named Meir Shapiro. He had this idea that if you learned one page a day of the Talmud, that after 2,711 pages, you can complete the entire cycle in just over 7.5 years. And that idea took off, and in 1931, they did the first Siyum HaShas ever, took place in Poland at the Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. Since then, every 7.5 years, they've had a Siyum HaShas, and every year it grows larger and larger. For example, in 1997 is the first time I participated in the CM, even though I am not a member of the Daf Yomi Club. And that one took place in Madison Square Garden and Nassau Coliseum. And I was in high school at the time, and I was able to participate. And since then, I've been participating in the CM, to show my support for those who actually make the commitment to do it. There are actually a lot of sources that help people learn Daf Yomi. Art Scroll has an amazing library of Hebrew, English, French, translated Gemaras, where no matter what language you speak, you can learn the Daf Yomi. There's a number of different classes all throughout the Metro Detroit area. Several times a day, there's classes going on. There's online classes for those who commute or don't have time to attend a class and can want to learn on their own time. And again, every year, there's more and more people who are doing the completion.
Okay, let me just jump in already. Okay, so
sure.
The first Siyum was, you said 1931?
31.
Yes. I'm wondering, maybe, you know, is there anybody who participated in that completion celebration still around? It's not really all that long ago when you think about it. The guy would be in his, person would be in their late 80s or 90s, but that's not unheard of that you'd have somebody who's like a young person, maybe a teenager. Have you heard of anybody?
I have not.
Okay. There was a person who taught Daf Yomi in the Lubavitcher Yeshiva in Montreal, a rabbi, what was his name? I don't remember. His name escapes me right now. Karp, Rabbi Karp. And I was there in 1983, and he started learning Daf Yomi in 1922. He was like, he had done it, and it was just like incredible. Here it was 60 years later, and he was still teaching the class. And he still had his, it was like a huge, every, it was in the yeshiva and in the kitchen and the dining hall. And there would be 200-300 people were sitting there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon every single day. So it is a big commitment because it means, or the word Yomi means daily. That means that a person has to somehow find the time to be able to learn a page of Talmud. Now, for our listeners, you're talking about, it's a book, okay? So they're thinking, wait, to read one page of a book is such a big deal? So tell us, Ari, what's the big deal of learning one page of a book a day?
Well, it's not just reading a book like a novel. There's many different concepts on each page. And when you're learning it, you're learning not only, you're not just reading it, you're learning the history behind the Jewish law that it's teaching, the story that it's telling over, and you need to understand it. Reading it is one thing, but to understand it and understand what the rabbis were thinking back hundreds of years ago when it was written, to understand it, it takes at least an hour. For the most classes that I've attended, it takes at least 1 hour of your time to do one page of the Talmud a day, just to understand the basic concepts.
Uh-huh. So this is an hour a day.
A big commitment.
Yeah, it's an hour a day, and there's no days off.
Correct.
If you miss a day, that means you have to do two the next day.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Now, So this is something which is going on worldwide. So if a person, say, wants to participate in a class in Detroit, and that's where they live, but has to go on a business trip, so is it therefore possible to find a class, say, in New York or Jerusalem or Los Angeles or wherever there's, like we were just talking about Gilders Green in London, and they're all basically doing the same page?
Yes. In general, everyone is always on the same schedule, and every shul, every Jewish center generally has one or two classes going on every day. For if you're traveling and you want to participate, I know in my particular shul we have one in the morning before work, and then we have one in the evening after work. To try to fit everyone's schedule. If you're traveling and you can't, as I mentioned earlier, there's websites that have pre-recorded classes of the daily page that they're learning that you can always catch up or learn through an online class.
Okay, so now let's talk about the idea. We're talking about, this is the Talmud and this idea of Daf Yom. What's the idea of a Siyum? So people have completed it, and we're making this big celebration. I mean, this is going on worldwide, and the main one in America is at MetLife Field, which is going to be very interesting because it's January 1st, and it's an open-air stadium, and maybe they'll have the good weather that we had this year. It'll be 60 degrees that day. Won't be so inclement. But why make a big tadadam just because you finished? Because the next day on January 6th, or whether it's January 4th, it finishes January 5th, you just start all over again from the beginning.
Well, I think any time someone spends 7.5 years studying anything, you make a big party out of it. It's like graduating from medical school. If you have tens of thousands of people who all graduate medical school at the same time, you want to have a big graduation party. And in essence, that's what this Siyum is. It's a big party because tens of thousands, if not millions of people, have now finished a 7.5 year learning cycle. And that's a big deal. And even though as soon as they finish, they start over again, you know, in 7.5 years, we can celebrate with them again and hopefully with even more people. But we're always taught in school, you know, repetition is the best way to learn and to remember. So you just keep learning it over and over again. There's always something new that people learn the second or third time, even the seventh time around. But, you know, they're having the Siyum at MetLife Stadium, as you mentioned. Well, you know, football teams, they win one game, they have a big celebration. They win the Super Bowl, they throw a ticker tape parade. So this is only fitting that when we finish a Jewish text like this that takes 7.5 years, that we have the ultimate Jewish celebration.
Okay, so I can understand. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Southfield City Councilman Ari Mandelbaum. We're talking about the Siyum Hashas Daf Yomi, the completion of the Talmud for those who study a page a day, which takes 7.5 years and change. So there's something big happening. I can understand it happening in New York because New York for sure has like the largest Jewish population. The New York metropolitan area has the greatest population of people who would be participant in Daf Yomi. So what's going on in MetLife Stadium on January 1st?
So MetLife Stadium will be the main venue for the Siyum celebration, the completion of the Daf Yomi cycle. They will have many different speakers. And not only that, they will be broadcasting that Siyum across the world, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. What are the natures of some of the speeches? What are people going to talk about? Hey, yeah, we finished great. Let's, you know, what's there to say?
They're keeping a lot of the speakers and the speeches close to the vest, not to give away too much information. But most of the speakers will be talking about, in my understanding, is they will be really encouraging and congratulating those who have finished the cycle, encouraging those who are interested in starting, or maybe did not complete it this time, but will complete it next time. So it's a combination of celebratory words as well as encouraging words for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're having you've organized the Greater Detroit area's participation. There are a lot of people, probably several hundred people across the city who are participant in learning the page a day. What's going on in the Detroit area, Ari Mandelbaum?
So in the Detroit area, on January 1st, we will be gathering at the Southfield City Hall in their pavilion. We will have a large screen set up, and we'll be having a live broadcast of the celebration in MetLife Stadium.
Cool.
It's open for men and women. The program is slated to start about 1 p.m. We will have local speakers as well. And everyone is encouraged to attend. There is a small fee for tickets to offset the cost of this operation. But we are hoping to have approximately 1,000 people show up on January 1st for the live broadcast of this historic Siyum of the Dafyomi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Light refreshments served, or basically it's water from the water fountain, or bring your own?
There will be some refreshments available for purchase. The program, doors open at 12, program starts at 1. They are expecting to finish the entire program approximately 4:30. So it's about 3.5 hours or so. It won't be that long. There will be, you know, if you need to stretch your legs, you can do that. But hopefully the program will be engaging enough that the 3 hours will fly by and not seem too long.
Yeah, I was thinking 3.5 hours of speeches is not my idea of a good time. But I hope that the organizers are aware of that. Do you think they'll have any, like, name performers singing in between or to entertain the crowd?
I have heard that there will be a couple of musical interludes in the middle to add some variety. Mm-hmm. All the speakers have also been given a 10 to 15 minute time limit. And then there will be speakers in Yiddish. And for those who don't understand Yiddish, me being one of those people, that's where we will have a local speaker from the Detroit area, somebody who has completed the Dafyomi cycle will be speaking as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So again, let's get the details from you, Councilman Ari Mandelbaum, for the local event, please. Where, when, how, how people can get in touch and buy tickets in advance?
So the local CM will take place at the Southfield City Hall Pavilion, located at 26000 Evergreen Road. And tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door. They can be purchased online. The website is www.siyum.aymadetroit.org. Or you can call 810-545-7741. Again, that's 810-545-7741. That is our 24-hour message line, and someone will take your order over the phone. Again, men and women are invited. $10 in advance, $15 at the door. Program doors open at 12 o'clock. Program begins at 1 on January 1st of 2020 at Southfield City Hall, the pavilion, and it'll be a live broadcast straight from MetLife Stadium.
Wonderful. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you so much for informing us. And it is incredible. I've just reminded myself that about 23 years ago, I attended the completion of the Dafyomi, so it would have been like three cycles ago, and it was held at Oak Park High School Auditorium. And there was about maybe 200 people, maybe. I don't even think that many. But to see that it's grown in that many years is a wonderful thing. I guess the expression is Yagdil Torah V'yadah. The Torah gets more precious as it goes. And thank you for helping out, Ari.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herr Schultz-Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next, a little bit of music for you. This is new on the singing scene. This name is Matt Dubb. And this song is called Olam Chesed Yibana. The world is built on kindness. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herr Schultz-Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next, for all you Klezmer fans, this is The Klezmer Tunes. They're a new group out of Brooklyn, and this is the Odessa Bulgar. Thank you. Klezmer Tunes, and I hope you liked it. Up next, this is Neeson Black. The song is called Hold On.
And there's been times that I don't want to go, but I know that I really got to keep on going. I keep on going. The negativity tries to enter me, but I scream, let me be, and I keep on rolling. I keep on rolling. Me that I want to be set and free, and believe me that he'll keep growing. I keep on growing. Oh yes, there's ups and yes, there's downs, but it's guaranteed that it all turns.
Let it go. control me. Cause we ain't give enough, and we ain't live enough, no matter what the
case. We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herschel Feynman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Vayigash. We're still in that classic Joseph and his brother story. In this one, there is an encounter. The portion left off last week that all 11 brothers came down, or 10 brothers came down, because Simon was already there, but they brought down Benjamin. And Benjamin got arrested for trumped up charges of stealing the Joseph's goblet. And so we left off. The last thing was Joseph said, okay, I'll keep the boy, who's like 37, as my slave, and you guys have a nice day. Go home. And that's where we pick up this time. So this portion picks up that Judah approaches Joseph. The word approach in Hebrew is vayigash. And he does, there's some various different commentaries that he was prepared to go to war. He was prepared to have total self-sacrifice to save this young person, all of 37. Judah at that time would have been 48. So it's like, okay. And then Judah lays on the guilt trip, and finally Joseph says, I'm Joseph and my father's alive, etc. And everybody knows the story. This encounter, this meeting between Judah and Joseph, is an analogy. And this analogy is discussed at great lengths in Hasidic philosophy and in Kabbalah. Joseph was never king. Remember this. Joseph was always called viceroy, which I'm not sure that's a word which anybody uses in the context other than referring to Joseph as viceroy. I don't know anybody else who was referred to as a viceroy. Tony, my faithful engineer, saying, nope, only viceroy that we ever got was Joseph. He was it. Okay, I'm looking around. You know, the Queen of England doesn't have a viceroy, so maybe Joseph was the only one, but he was never king. Judah, his progeny, became king. He's actually considered the king of the brothers, as far as that goes. From Judah, there's descended King David. So, and in the final blessings of Jacob at the end of the book of Genesis, Jacob blesses Judah that the scepter will never fall, meaning that he will always be in the royal lineage of the Jewish people. So, but in this scenario, it's Joseph sitting on the throne and Judah doing the pleading. This is not just a story. I've said this a zillion times over the last 25 years. The Torah is not a history book. It's not a story book. The stories that are portrayed through the Bible have the greatest lessons. There's even more depth and wisdom in the stories than there are in the outright commandments when God tells Moses, tell the Jewish people, do the following. According to the Kabbalah, there are 10 divine attributes. I'm not going to go into this. This itself would take more than an hour to describe them. The last two are Yesod and Malchus. Yesod is translated as foundation, and Malchus is translated as royalty. The job of foundation, what does foundation do, is it sets the stage for finality. And Malchus, royalty, is that finality. Like, for example, this is in everything. This is not just, we're talking not just kings, we're talking everything. An example of Yesod, a foundation, would be the way people talk in their voicemail. Hello, you have reached Rabbi Herschel Finman. Please leave a message after the tone. Thank you very much. Why is it that people talk like that? That doesn't sound normal. It doesn't. And when I'm sitting here talking into a microphone, I'm actually looking at my my engineer, because this way I'm not going to talk like in that single voice tone that talks, that turns, you can't understand what I'm talking about. No. The reason why people talk like that into their voice machines is because talking requires someone to talk to. If you don't have someone to talk to, it's not normal talking. And hence it comes out the way it does. It's the same thing when people try to act that don't know how to act, and they're sitting there reading the script and trying to sound like it. Or you listen to some of the movies from the early 1930s where they were still doing like it was basically a play in front of a camera. And just the way that they portrayed, the way that they talk. People don't talk like that. That's foundation. That's like the preparedness. That's getting it ready. When you're actually talking, that's Malchus. That's the royalty. So here it is. Let's go back to what we're talking about over here. There is this conflict between Joseph and Judah. And this conflict actually plays throughout the annals of history and into the future. Because we see that after Solomon died, the Jewish people split into two kingdoms. The southern kingdom was called the kingdom of Judah, and the northern kingdom was either called the northern kingdom or the kingdom of Israel. And who were the kings? The kings were from Joseph. And it was Yeravam ben Nevat, a descendant of Joseph, who led the split of the 10 tribes. And said, we're not going to have you, son of King Solomon, be our king. What happened to the 10 tribes? Well, after Sennacherib got through with them some 350 years later, we don't know. They're called the Lost 10 Tribes. Because if you're just going to leave things in a state of preparedness, getting ready to do it, and you stop there, what are you left with? You're prepared to do it. Thank you very much. But nothing got done. We live in a world of action. That's where Judah comes in. Judah's the actuality. Even with the destruction of two temples and the dispersal of the Jewish people throughout the world. Most of us are descendants of Judah. There's some of Benjamin, some of Levi. But we still have that awareness of our Jewishness, our Jewish values, what we're doing. Whereas the 10 tribes, who knows where they are if they even know that they even exist as Jewish. If they themselves think they're Jewish, or they're even descendants of somebody named Ephraim or Manasseh or God or Dan or et cetera, et cetera. And it's going to be the same thing also in the future with the Messiah. Because it says in the classic works that there's going to arise a Messiah descendant of Joseph. And he's not going to get the job done. It'll only be when the Messiah, the son of King David, stands up and takes over charge, is it that the actual Messiah comes? Where's the difference? There's this concept of Armageddon. It's in Hebrew, it's called Milchamas Gog u'Magog. Gog and Magog are descendants of Japheth, and they represent the world's leading superpowers, number one, number two. And throughout the time since the Romans, there has always been speculation as to whom they to who they might be. It's irrelevant who they are, but this massive war, it says in the books, is over or about the Jewish people. So you could say we did that already. 1938 to 1945 was a war. What was it about? Well, you might say it was one man's quest to be king of the world, but when he was losing, where was his focus? He was still killing Jews. His armies were in retreat. He was still killing Jews. So we could say that Armageddon happened then. But 1945 was 70 years ago. Let's say that Joseph did appear on the scene, and however way that Joseph appeared. It says in the books that Joseph gets killed in Armageddon, the Messiah ben Joseph. It's been 70 years. We haven't gotten there yet. We're still in that state of preparedness. In 1948, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the world is finished. We are prepared. We have done everything we possibly could to bring the Mashiach, to bring the Messiah. All that needs to be done is to polish the buttons. Just put on the last final stages of prep. As if you're making a fancy uniform and you have a gold buttons, the last thing you do is you're going to polish the buttons. In 1988, the Rebbe said, We've polished the buttons. It's enough. It's 40 years of polishing buttons. If you polish the buttons too much, you're gonna take the shine off. It's enough already. And the Rebbe even suggested at that time that and he blamed God. He said it's up to the Almighty. The Almighty could bring Mashiach at this time at any moment. But he suggested what's missing is one person doing one act of kindness, and then suggested you be that person to do that act of kindness. 1988 was 30 years ago. People have been doing that one act of kindness. It's up to the Almighty at this point. Keep doing the acts of kindness, and at this point, the Almighty, you got a lot of explaining to do, because we need Mashiach now. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest, best way? Go to rabbifinman.com. What will you find there? Well, you'll get in touch with me. If you're listening on the podcast on the radio, we'll just finish off the podcast. It's only got a couple more minutes yet. And then go over to the homepage, and you can see their way direct link to contact me at rabbifinman.com. There's also archived editions of the show. There's other ways in which we express Judaism in an interesting and exciting and informational way. And there's the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour is supported mostly by listeners like you. You've been listening now for 50 minutes to the show. You've enjoyed it. Show your appreciation. Go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the donations page. Make a donation. Make it a monthly donation, $5 a month. That would be great. We have a bunch of people that do that. And it helps pay the bills. This is not free. Podcasting is not free. We need your help, and we need you to do it today. We can get it in, but if you get it in before Wednesday, if you're listening to this before Wednesday, it goes to you can declare it on your taxes for 2019. But if it's after Wednesday, don't let that worry. You can declare it on your taxes on 2020. That's also fine. As my ophthalmologist friend says, 2020, it's going to be a very clear visioned year. Yes. So do that and do that today. The story happened in 1991. Then Chief Rabbi of England, Jonathan Sacks, now Lord Jonathan Sacks, went to Moscow following perestroika and glasnost and Gorbachev's resigning his power, seceding his power as chief of the Communist Party and the leader of the Russian government. And Gorbachev was invited to participate in a Hanukkah menorah lighting ceremony with the chief rabbi of Britain. After the chief rabbi lit the candles, so Gorbachev asked him, speaking through an interpreter, what did he just do and why did he do it? And so Jonathan Sachs, Lord Sachs, explained that 2,300 years ago, there were decrees levied against the Jewish people which forbade them from learning Torah and doing commandments and adhering to their Judaism. But a small band of Jews kept and maintained their dedication to Judaism. And through miracles and through divine intervention, that's a small band drove back a major superpower. And they rededicated themselves to Judaism by lighting a menorah, a candelabra, in the Holy Temple. And then Jonathan Sachs continued, 70 years ago, the Russians did the same thing. They forbade Jews from studying Torah, from adhering to their Judaism, from doing the commandments, from teaching their children. Yet, there has always been a small group that has fought against this tyrannical approach. And now you, Mr. Gorbachev, this is what he said to him, are part of the new Hanukkah story. Because with you now, Jews can once again participate in their Judaism. It says there that Gorbachev blushed. And they lit the candles and they washed the candles and they sat. That's going to do it. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope that you enjoy the rest of Hanukkah and that if it's after Hanukkah, that you've taken the step, one step more, and you've gone from your eighth candle to your ninth candle to your tenth candle ad infinitum, because it keeps on growing. You're going to back out gracefully. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. Take care. יש רגעים שכל המקומות נסגרים ואני זועק היקר אל תשבר אתה לא לבד אל תשבר